help us with the sound equipment, also the music, and also, and for me, for the preaching time. And sorry we're running, I guess, a few minutes behind. There's a little bit of a live stream issue. We want to make sure everything was up and running. If you have some trouble with this, you can always just stop watching the live stream, and in about an hour and a half, it will be posted to the YouTube channel. So if some reason there's some type of break here, or you're having trouble getting on there, we can give you some explanations of how to get to there. But we do want to begin the service now. It is a little bit different. All the pews are empty. So you can imagine it might feel a little bit weird being at your house, watching this on your tablet, your phone, or your TV. But it's a little different for us also. So be praying for us. I really think God can use us during this time and use this live stream feature during this time too. So be faithful with it. In a little while, I'm going to give you some suggestions about how to be faithful at church during this time of uncertainty because of the virus. But like always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for today. Thankful to be able to come into your house. I know that there's many people that are watching, and they're watching at different locations. It's a little bit new for us. But God, we're asking that you bless it. We feel that you led us in doing this and canceling the services except for being together. We're here at church. We're having service. But God, we're depending upon you. When it comes to our prayer request time, Lord, there's a long list of different things that we could go over, from people that are losing their jobs, to people that are sick, to ministries have been affected, and missionaries, all different types of things. And God, I pray that we be faithful in praying for those. But Lord, we pray now that our focus is now on you and on your word, and be able to praise you and worship you, and Lord, have a good time inside your house, even though many of it's done remotely. Lord, thank you once again for giving us this type of technology. Thank you for this church. Thank you for what it stands for and what it represents. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being able to come to you in prayer. And Lord, we once again ask you to bless the service. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to have church service like regular. We're going to have Brother Jim's going to come in a second. He's going to lead us in our theme song, and then he's going to sing a congregational song. We're going to have some special music and have announcements and another congregational song, some more special music, and then we're going to have the preaching time. But I encourage you to follow along. When we pray, you also be praying. When you see the songs going on, there'll be words behind you. We're trying to choose some songs that are familiar to you. So just in case you can't see the words, you can also be singing along. You say, I'm supposed to sing while I'm at the house. You sure are. And once again, it might be odd for you the first couple of times, but Brother Jim's here and he's leading empty pews. So work with us and enjoy the time that you're here having here. I think we can have a real blessing today from the service. And we're going to start off with our theme song because that's what we've done. We've met together to worship. And I know what there's only a few that's here, but we've all gathered around whatever screen that we're watching because we truly think God is worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship. So let's worship together. Brother Jim's going to come lead us in our theme song, Brother, and we have met to worship.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word?
Number 314, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. We're going to sing all four verses. Amazing Grace, all four verses.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. My fears relieved.
So special music, it's going to be a challenge during this time while we're doing pretty much just only live streaming. So if you're someone who normally helps provide special music for our church and would like to help with special music while we're doing the live streaming, please contact myself or Brother Jim. We're going to be setting up some times. Because live streaming is new to us and music is even a greater challenge of making sure it sounds good online, we're probably going to do some pre-recording of some of the special music if that all works out. So if you'd like to be a part of that, now if you don't feel comfortable, we won't have large groups here at all. If you don't feel comfortable singing or don't want to be on that, there's no requirements there. But if you'd like to be a part of it, that'd be wonderful. Brother Jim and Miss Kathy and my family is providing the special music today, and it's just to give you an opportunity to respond. So text me and let me know, or let Brother Jim know. It's announcement time. So announcement time is going to be a little bit longer today because we have a lot of things to go all over, but we do want to mention the birthdays of the week. It's Joseph Ackley's birthday today, so happy birthday to Joseph. Marie Cartwright's birthday on tomorrow, and N.T. Eilert's birthday tomorrow. Olivia Ackley's birthday on the 26th, and Laura Lawrence's birthday on the 27th. So happy birthday to all of those. I think most people probably realize if we're just live streaming the services that all the activities are pretty much canceled here at the church location. So some people have been asking about the Easter program. So as of right now, our Easter program and the lease is going to be postponed. Unless things changes this week, it looks like we're probably going to have to wait till next year to do the Centurion, which is okay. It's a great story. All the work that's already been done can be done next year for next year's program, but we're still waiting to see if everything changes within a week or two. If not, it's going to be something we have to postpone. The sportsman banquet that we were going to at the Great Hope has been canceled. The ladies' meeting this Tuesday have been canceled also. A couple things I want you to also to consider about how to make live streaming effective at your house. Once again, this is new ground for all of us, is just a couple things to help you get involved in the services. Like I said, sing when there's singing time, pray when there's praying time, gather your family together. Make sure if you come to church together, watch the live stream together also. I'd encourage you to get out of bed and get dressed. I know somebody said yesterday, I'm going to be watching in my pajamas. That's fine. And the person I said that is probably laughing right now. But, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. You should get up and get ready and watch as a family. Don't try to multitask. If you turn your phone off during a church service or put on silent, do that too. Don't try to cook dinner while you're watching. Give attention. Give God an opportunity to work at it. Now, there's one thing. If you're live streaming on your phone, don't turn it off then. It makes no sense. You're not going to be able to see it. But if you're there and your guests have the phone, just limit the other distractions. Project it on the largest screen you can. And we're going to give you a little bit of a lesson at the end about how to watch it on your TV if you have a smart TV. And that helps, especially if there's four people watching on a phone. That could be a little difficult. But we're going to help you with that. Be active during the services. Like I said, sing, pray. Also, a number of people have asked about giving. And you say, well, giving. And sometimes people say the only reason why people still had church is so they could get offerings. And that's not the case here. Our desire is to do what the Lord's called us to do, and we're trying to stay faithful and close to that. We do think that the Lord still would want people to give during this time because it's not a church thing. It's a God thing. God uses it to help support the churches. God uses it to help support the ministries we've already made commitments to, such as missionaries and other missionary-style projects. You can give in different ways. You can give through just dropping a check off, mailing a check in, having a bank draft, We are working on getting it to where you can do online giving on our website. That's not up and ready yet, but hopefully sometime soon for that. And you can just drop it off if you like to. If you want to, make sure you contact ahead of time, make sure somebody's here. Church office hours are still going to be the same unless there's some other restrictions put on by the government. But I'm planning on being here, and the ladies that work with me are planning on being here too, to make sure everything keeps on going. Most importantly, make sure you pray for the services. Make sure you pray. Once again, some people say, pastor, is different being at home than is church. I agree with you. And if the choice was being lazy and not coming out to the church service, I think God would work in your heart more if you were here, if you could be. But that's not the option now. The option is, hey, I'm either going to go and watch on a live stream or I'm not going to do anything. I think God can work in this. And I was thinking about some of our shut-ins. Our shut-ins are people that don't have the opportunity to come here, but I believe God can bless their service if they watch it online just as much as they could if they were right here. And you say, well, that makes sense. Well, that makes sense for us too, because right now we're not able to be here. And because of that, I think God can use this and God can bless this opportunity we have when it comes to live streaming just as much as he can do in the services, because this is what's available to us right now. So you'd be praying for that. Sunday morning and Wednesday night, we're going to have special music and we're going to have congregational singing. On Sunday night, we are only going to be having a message that I'm going to be giving, maybe a couple announcements. But besides that, it will just be a message. And we're going to do that a little bit after the service is over this morning. So this afternoon we'll do it. So by 6 o'clock tonight, it will be posted and ready for you to watch. And I want to encourage you, if you come to church regularly on Sunday night, get your family together and watch it. And if 6 o'clock doesn't work, obviously you can start a few minutes later or at 7 o'clock, whatever works best for your family. But I encourage you to set up a routine and make sure you tell your family and lead by example, hey, I'm going to be at church, even if it means I have to do it in my living room. Let's see here. I think that's it. If we want to keep in good contact, I know some of you have received text messages over and over from me this past week about different things. I might not have everybody's text message, phone number, or their phone number, so please, you know, call the church office, send it in. We also like to get a list of email addresses, not so we can send spam to you, but so we can give you updates that way too. There are people that are working on a Facebook page for Faith Baptist Church, so they can also watch the services through that and a platform to reach other people, and that's in the process of being done. So if you are on social media, I'm not telling you have to get a social media account, but if you're on social media already, be on the lookout for that. We can also do advertisements and announcements through that platform too. So we're excited about all those things that are going on. I'm truly interested in seeing how God can get glory out of all this. All the things that are going on in the world today, I wonder how God's going to make it all work out. But we know we can, and that's what we're going to have faith for. We're going to have Brother Jim come lead us in another great congregational song, Jesus Saves, and then he's going to also provide some special music for us, and then we are going to have the sermon.
All right, let's sing all four verses of Jesus Saves, number 10 in your songbook if you're here. Jesus saves, all four verses. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell the sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom when the heart for mercy craves. Sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And the last. give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Understands like Jesus. He's a friend beyond compare. Meet him at the throne of mercy. He is waiting for you there. No one understands like Jesus. Every woe he sees and feels. Tenderly he whispers comfort, and the broken heart he heals. No one understands like Jesus. When the days are dark and grim, no one is so near, so dear as Jesus. Cast your every care on him. No one understands like Jesus. When the foes of life assail, you should never be discouraged. Jesus cares and will not fail. No one understands like Jesus. When you falter on the way, though you fail him, sadly fail him, he will pardon you today. No one understands like Jesus. When the days are dark and grim, no one is so near, so dear as Jesus. Cast your every care on him.
Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles ready to John chapter number 14 this morning. John chapter number 14. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I've been praying and thinking throughout the week, and there's a lot of different passages of Scripture that actually give us understanding to help people that are hurting, to help for the hopeful or the hopeless. And you think about it, here in this passage of Scripture, there's a famous phrase where the Bible says in chapter 14, verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled." And tonight, or this morning, I'd like to give some thoughts here about how not to let your heart be troubled. In John chapter number 14, you see there's a lot of worry and anxiety and a lot of different fears that are going on in the disciples' life. In the story, Jesus has just told them, hey, look, I'm getting ready to leave. Now, to most of us, that wouldn't be a big deal. Most of us think, okay, somebody's leaving, they're going to come back. Now, Jesus is saying he's going for a while. And you say, what's the big deal? Well, Jesus is the person that they thought was the Messiah. They thought he was going to establish a kingdom at that moment and that time, and they were going to rule with him. Jesus is here, and he's saying, look, I'm leaving. And he's even making it sound like he's getting ready to die. And what's going on in the hearts and lives of these disciples is they've given up their lives. They've given up their work. They've given up their businesses. They've given up a lot of different things just so they could follow Jesus. And then as the story's going along, he says, hey, I'm leaving. Can you imagine the questions that are coming to their heart? Can you imagine the anxiety and the fears that are happening in their lives right now? They're thinking, hey, I've given up everything to follow this man, and now he's telling me he's leaving. Also that evening, Jesus said some other discouraging things. He said that one of the 12 of them was going to betray him. And they even began to question their own hearts. And then he even said, kind of the leader of the group, Peter, the most outspoken one, he said to him, you're going to deny me. And in the backdrop of all these different things and all the questions that are rising in the people's hearts and the disciples' hearts at this moment in time, Jesus looks at them and says, hey, look, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to give you a command here. And this command, I want you to understand, I know what you're thinking. I know how you feel. It would be very easy for you to become anxious and worried. And he says, I want you to remember something. Let not your heart be troubled. And then he continues on in verse number 1. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's have a word of prayer. God, I pray that you limit the distractions. Lord, that you give us a heart and desire to know what your word has to say. I know this is a really familiar passage of scripture, but this is something that gives us advice and gives us a know-how of how not to let our hearts become troubled. It would be so easy today for us to become fearful. It would be so easy to become wearisome. But Lord, you're looking at us just as you looked at your disciples and saying, let not your heart be troubled. That word let, Lord, tells us that we have a part in this. And Lord, help us to see some important truths today. Help us to finish this service with being encouraged in your word and encouraged and have faith in you. Lord, speak to our hearts in a special way. And Lord, we don't know how many people are listening. We don't know how many people will listen in the future. If there's someone here today that does not know how to get to heaven, Lord, we pray as the word of God is preached that you would work in their hearts. And Lord, bless it for those that may even hear it in the future. And that you would draw people to you and that people would come to the saving knowledge of the word of God because of the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is an amazing passage of scripture because it gives us a point to live by. Most of us would say, hey, God doesn't care if I'm a little worried. God doesn't care if I'm a little fearful. God knows that things are going hard and things are going to be tough. And in these disciples' life, they have just been turned upside down. And as in the day and time we live in, we're going through this coronavirus. And as we go through this coronavirus, our churches have to be emptied out many times. Some churches are still having church, but we chose to consider what being a good citizen. And if you have any questions why we're doing it, you're welcome to call me, or you can go listen to last Wednesday night's message. It's posted on the live stream also, so that way you can understand my heart about it. Don't want to cancel church. But in a day of uncertainty, in a day of all the things that are going on, people are losing jobs, people are causing family issues, some things are virus issues, some people are dying. All across the world, we're seeing issues and problems happening because of this virus, and it is very, very easy for people to get upset. It'd be very easy for people to become unhinged. If you go to the grocery stores, I went to grocery stores a few times this past week, and you go to the toilet paper aisle, it's all gone. There's no toilet paper there. Thankfully, in the last few days, people have started to get some more in stock, but people are reacting to this, and they're acting in a very troublesome way at some times. This passage of scripture is a passage that gives hope and encouragement. Many times if you've been around me very long or been a member of our church for a long time, when we have funerals, I love using this passage of scripture. Why is that? Why is that? It's because of the fact during a time of loss, your heart can become troubled. At a time of loss, you can wonder what the future is going to be like. At a time of loss, you can turn around and say, man, what am I going to do? And that's when Jesus is, just as he's looking at his disciples, he's saying, let not your heart be troubled. So I don't want you to lack in faith. And I want you to think about this today as you're going through these things, and I want you to keep on reminding yourself that Jesus is looking at me and Jesus is saying, hey, let not your heart be troubled. I don't want this to stop you. I don't want this to cause anxious. I don't want this to cause worry. Remember. And so there's a couple things I want you to think about today in the service, three different main points. The first thing is, with our theme being considered this year, we've tied that in, considered troubled hearts. Considered troubled hearts. If you consider the passages of scripture we're looking at, the disciples just found out their Messiah is going. And they don't know where he's going. They don't know what's going to happen to him. It sounds like he's going to die. It sounds like he's going to be given to the hands of sinful men. Not only that, one of us is actually going to betray him, and one of us is going to deny him, and we're all going to be offended by him. And they're all going to be leaving that night, and they're going to disperse out. Can you imagine what's going in their hearts? And I am not minimizing what's happening today, and I'm not even trying to compare the two. But both times, what happened back then to the disciples and what is happening today is a life of uncertainty. They're troubled in their hearts. And Jesus is saying, hey, I don't want you to be troubled. This command would be hard to do, but God gives us commands that are hard sometimes. If you go and you look at many of the commands, the reason why they're commands is because they are difficult. But we're able to do those. God would not give you a command that you could not do with his help. So under this, consider troubled hearts. Consider what a troubled heart is. I looked up the word trouble. It means that our hearts are agitated. They're stirred up. They have a complete loss of peace and tranquility and rest. And our circumstances are not what we had planned. Just like the disciples that day, many times they're thinking, this is not what I was thinking. This is not what I signed up for. I was expecting someday to rule and to reign with him, and they thought it was going to happen soon. Just like today with the world that's coming and there's much turmoil, it's because things are unexpected. Things are not happening the way we thought they were. People have anxiety over so much, and probably the greatest anxiety is what's going to happen next. I made the comment on Wednesday night, the only thing we can know for sure about the coronavirus is nobody really knows what's going to happen. All these different experts have differences of opinions, and nobody knows what's going to happen next for the world, what's going to happen in China, what's going to happen in Italy, what's going to happen in America. And because of the uncertainty, people allow their hearts to become troubled. And Jesus is looking at them, and Jesus is speaking these words to the disciples on the eve of where everything in their life is going to be turned upside down. This is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the tip of the iceberg, because tomorrow Jesus is actually going to be crucified. And then for those 3 days, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows how they're going to feel? They're going to have a bag of mixed emotions. And he's looking at them. Look, the future may be difficult. You can't understand what I'm trying to teach you. In the next 3 days, your world's going to be turned completely upside down. But I do not want you to let this to cause your heart to trouble. I don't want to let this to challenge your faith. I want you to remember some things. And so Jesus is going to be arrested. He's going to be crucified. He's going to leave them. Remember, for 3 years, they followed him. To those who have troubled and confused hearts, Jesus speaks these words, "Let not your heart be troubled." We've all had our lives thrown in some confusion recently. Some people have kids that are home from school and don't know what to do with them. Many have lost their jobs or could possibly lose their jobs. We can't even meet together to worship at church. Things are unusual. Talk about how our lives change in such a short period of time, just like the disciples' lives. They got changed super quick. So what are we supposed to do? One thing we're not supposed to do is let it trouble us. Consider for a moment that word let. It seems like Jesus is telling them they have a choice here. Pastor, I have a choice. I have a choice whether or not my heart is going to be troubled. And that's what Jesus is saying. They have a choice in not letting their heart be agitated and stirred up. They have an opportunity in order to not allow their life to be a loss of peace and tranquility and rest. That word let is a call for you and I to be involved in the troublesome times of our life. You say, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. I don't think we should idly sit by and let our lives be destroyed right before us. I don't think we should allow our heart to dictate and become agitated and stressful. We need to find out what Jesus is saying here. He doesn't just say, let not your heart be troubled. He continues on and gives instruction. So the first thing is, consider troubled hearts. Second thing is, consider your belief in God. That's where the verse says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus looks at them and he reminds them of something. Hey, look, I'm making a commandment here. I don't want you to let this trouble you. I don't want your hearts to become troubled. But then he reminds them of something. He says, you believe in God. Then he says, believe also in me. So what he's saying here is he reminds them of their belief in God. Remember, it seems like an impossible command. And I know what people that are sitting and maybe watching are going to say, I don't see how I can't let my heart be troubled. I don't know what's going to happen to my family. I don't know what's going to happen to my state. I don't know what's going to happen to my country. And that's why he says, look, let not your heart be in trouble. You believe in God. He reminds them of their faith. Remember, it seems like an impossible command that he's telling them, but this command here is that you believe in God. It's a command that also helps to fulfill the first command. If they will not believe in Christ, they will not be comforted. If you will not believe in what God's word says, you're not going to find that comfort. And the following verses follow in verses 2, 3, and 4. It talks about some amazing promises, but the key is if you do not believe them, they are not going to help you. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, and here's the command, says, believe also in me. He's saying there's something here. Don't forget about your belief in God, but also believe in me. He said, well, that sounds sacrilegious. How can he say, just because you believe in God, you should believe in me? It's because Jesus was God. He was God that became man to die for the sins of mankind. So he reminds them of their faith. And when a person is reminded of their faith, he can encourage them with these words. Don't forget that God's the one in control. The first element of truth he offered them was to believe. He's saying, have faith, be fully persuaded in and of God. God is all powerful. He is the creator God. He has the power to create and he has the power to sustain. No circumstance that we face in any way negates his power. God is not surprised by this virus. God is not saying, I wonder what I'm going to do. I wonder where the antidote is. I wonder what I can do to fix the problems. There is a sustaining faith that happens when you believe in God. This is the kind of faith that brings you through the valleys. This is the kind of faith that causes you to believe that God exists, but not only that God exists, but that he is in absolute control of all things. When you say you believe in God and that there is a creator God that's created all things, you can have faith in his promises, you can have faith in his power, you can have faith in his plans. And when you can learn to trust God completely without reservation, then you have the tool that you need when someone looks at you and says, let not your heart be troubled. My heart doesn't have to be troubled because I believe in God. I believe that he's created. I believe that he can do all those things. And God is looking at you today and says, hey, look, I don't want this to trouble you. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to act irrationally. It doesn't mean that we're going to act unhinged. It doesn't mean that we're not going to be concerned and not going to be prepared. And we are going to be good citizens and we're going to do things that are right. He says, but I don't want this to consume you. I don't want this to cause you to lack in your faith. If we have a belief in God, then this can help us fulfill that first commandment. Let not your heart be troubled. You can trust the Lord. You say, oh, of course I trust in the Lord. Of course I believe in God. Is it showing up in the way that you're living your lives today? Now remember, the disciples here is not, he's saying to them, you believe in God. But then why are their hearts troubled? Jesus is reminding me, he says, look, let not your hearts be troubled because he knows what's coming up in their hearts. He knows what's coming in their thoughts. He says, you believe in God. Don't forget that you believe in God. Don't you forget that you think that God created this world, which he did. He says, now remember this. Don't lose sight of that. But also, he also encourages them to have faith in himself. Not only is he creator God, he is also a compassionate savior. He's reminding me, he says, you believe in God. You don't know God like you know me. I've spent the last 3 years. You've seen me heal the blind. You've seen me feed the 5,000. You've seen me raise the dead. You've seen how I've treated people with love. And he says, I want you not only believe in God, believe also in me because I am God too. And that's what a saving faith. The thing that keeps us through the valleys, the things that keeps us strong is we know that God's in control and God can do anything he wants. And I'm truly putting my faith and trust in that I believe in God. But then there's also a saving faith of putting your faith and trust in who Jesus Christ is. The Bible teaches us that there's a lot of people out there that says, hey, I believe in God. I'm just as good as you are. But if you go to the book of James, it tells us that even the devils believe in God. You say, what's the difference? There's a lot of people who say, I believe in God. And there's a lot of people who have faith in a false God, in a false religion. And because of that, my God's going to take care of me. Not unless he's the one true God. And I want to encourage you today. Jesus is looking at them. He says, look, let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God. You got it right. You believe in the one true God. He says, I want you to also believe in me. He says, it's not just how God can sustain you. There is a God that can save you. If you go to John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus says another famous verse, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He's saying, not only is it enough to believe that there is a God, you must have faith in believing who I am, that I am God that came to this world to die for the sins of mankind. And you're not going to get to the Father, you're not going to get to heaven, but through Jesus Christ. I want you to think about it. Consider troubled hearts. And I think all of us across this nation could look around and say, man, there's some troubled hearts out there today. There's a lot of people with anxieties, worries, fears. A lot of people that don't know what the future is going to hold. And there's a lot of people that are letting that take away their peace. A lot of people that become stressed. And a lot of people that are, you hear a message like this and say, well, who are you to tell me not to be troubled? God's looking at those that believe in him and says, I want you to remember this. Let not your heart be troubled. Third thing is, not only consider the troubled hearts, but consider your belief in God. And we'll come back to that in a second. The third thing is, consider your future. He's looking at them and he's telling them, look, I'm getting ready to leave. But in verse number 2, he begins to describe what their future looks like. And I tell you, anytime you get a little discouraged about what's going on in this world, one of the best things you can do is say, you know what, this world's not my home. This is not the final spot. No matter what they do to me here in this world, you know what? I have a future that's in heaven if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So no matter what happens in this world, no matter if people wrong you, no matter if you get a virus, no matter if you get stabbed in the back, no matter if, you know, whatever the different things you think could be happening in this world and all the different issues and problems that are happening, no matter what happens in this lifetime, guess what? That's not going to change your future in heaven. Only when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have something and receive something called eternal life. It's everlasting life. And he's looking at the disciples here and says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then he begins to talk about their future. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. So he begins to make some amazing promises. But remember, if you don't have faith in Jesus Christ, and if you don't truly believe this, it's not going to help you during these times. Even as a Christian or as a believer, there's a difference between belief and faith. You know, this person that says, I can believe, and yeah, I believe in God. But are you living by faith? Or is it something that you, yeah, I believe, are you trusting him today? And if you trust him and say, I believe that he is the all creator, all knowing, all powerful, all everywhere God, and he is preparing a mansion for me, then guess what? No matter what happens in this world, I don't have to let my heart be troubled. No matter what happens in this lifetime, I don't have to let this heart trouble me. But think about some of the wonderful things. The first thing I want you to think about is, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. It was one preacher to put it this way. It's a precious place. It's a prepared place. And it's a powerful promise. And I like that. He says, many mansions. He's talking about the mansions that are there. It's a precious place. I could spend time talking to you and impressing you about all the splendors of heaven. But if you don't focus on your future, your heart's going to be troubled. The streets of gold, the gates of pearl, all those different things. Second thing is, it's a prepared place. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And this is a place he's preparing for eternity. We did not prepare our place in eternity. Jesus prepared our place for us. If Jesus can prepare a place for us in heaven and take care of our eternity future, don't we feel like he can take care of us today? You think about it, if we understand that he can perfectly care for us for the rest of all eternity, I don't even know if that's the right way to say it, but forever, can he take care of us today? So that's what he's looking at and says, look, disciples, here, don't let this trouble you. Remember, you believe in God. Believe also in me. He says, and I'm going to prepare mansions for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And he says, now consider this. If I'm preparing a place for you that's going to last for all eternity, do you really have to be worried about tomorrow? If I'm going to take care of you for all, and I'm preparing this place, can you imagine what it must look like and what it must be? It surely is precious, but it's prepared also. If we can trust and think he's going to take care of us for all eternity, we can trust him today. And then you see not only is there a precious place and a prepared place, there's a powerful promise when he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, in verse number 3, I will come again. I think what was breaking many of the disciples' hearts is he's leaving. What's tomorrow going to be? The last 3 years, we've watched and we've heard him teach. We've watched him do miracles. We've seen him raise the dead. He's not going to be here tomorrow. Is everything going to be okay? And when he says, I'm going to take care of you, but here's the wonderful promise. I'm coming back someday. I'm coming back for you. God sees everything that's happening in this world. Nothing takes him by surprise. And he's telling these disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. I think he's telling you also, hey, don't let this overwhelm you. I'm preparing a place for you. This is not your future. Your future is with me, and I'm coming back. And then he continues on, and he says, to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. They wanted to be with Jesus. And he was saying, you can't come with me right now. If you go back to chapter number 13, he says, you can't come right now where I'm going. And they're like, hey, we want to come. And he's like, no, that's not the plan here. That's going to happen someday, but that's not the plan right now. You've got something to do. And you go to the book of Acts, you know, there was something for them to do. There was a church that was going to be instituted, and there was a church that was going to turn the world upside down. They weren't able to go then, but God had a plan and purpose for them. He says, I'm coming back, but he wants them to be faithful today. So church, I want you to think about this. You consider the troubled hearts, and there's a lot of people that have troubled hearts, and I'd be lying if I never thought about, you know, what happens if I get the virus? What happens if a family member gets the virus? And I'm not even probably even that hasn't entered my mind as much thinking, man, what about my church family that God's given me to protect me? What about some of those wonderful older senior saints that God's given us? And, you know, I don't want them to get the virus from church. You say that's a lack of faith. I don't think it's a lack of faith. It's being praying and letting God help make the decisions and taking the information and saying, okay, we're going to use common sense and we're going to do what we think is best to protect the family that God's given us here as Faith Baptist Church members. I want you to consider also, if you go to verses 26 and 27, you know, it probably troubled their heart that Jesus had left them alone, but he's saying to them in verses 26 and 27, he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. Look what it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know what he's saying? I'm not leaving you comfortless. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit of God. And every Christian, every believer that has the Holy Spirit of God inside them, there's peace that can be found. He's saying your heart does not have to be troubled because the Holy Spirit can give you the peace. And he says to it, if you read these verses and memorize these verses, he says, he shall teach you all things. He shall bring all things to your remembrance. If you allow the Holy Spirit to lead and direct your life, he's going to teach you things during this time that you'll never learn on your own. He's going to show you things. There's a phrase in the Bible that says treasures in darkness. And we live in a very dark, uncertain time right now. But God is able to give you treasures during this time if you let the Holy Spirit of God bring things to remembrance and teach you. And says, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then he says, look, I am leaving you peace. He's leaving not just peace. He said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. And I know that we have politicians and world leaders that are going up on the stage and trying to say, hey, the way I would do things could be bring peace to your heart. What if I did it? If I was the one in charge, if everything was listening to me, I can make things. And they're, what are they trying to do? They're trying to say, hey, I can offer you peace that the other guy can't. And they're all really a bunch of liars. Why is that? Because they're not in charge. If they don't turn to God and say, God, you're the only one that can give us peace. You're the only one that can give us hope. You're the only one that can truly sustain us during this time and make wise decisions according to what the Word of God says, there is no peace. Yes, it might be some type of temporary peace. You might get a check and that might help you for a little while, but that's not the peace that God's offering. What happens when the check is gone? There's still turmoil. There's still uncertainty. What happens when you have to pay it back someday? And all those different things. He says, the peace that I offer you, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give it unto you. He says, if you have the peace of God in your heart and life, it's not like the world's peace. And he says, you don't have to have your heart troubled. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So I want you to think about, as this is going on, this would be a constant reminder in your heart. Jesus told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. And their world had just spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, had just been turned completely upside down. And he says, hey, don't lose focus on me. Yes, you believe in God. Believe also me. Believe what I'm telling you. Believe the truth that I'm saying to you. This is something that's going to help you. You do not have to be troubled. But the only way your heart's not going to be troubled is if you believe in God, but you also believe in what Jesus is trying to tell him. He's saying, I got a plan and purpose for you. You cannot get through this without me. And you might be able to figure your way out, but it's not going to be a life of peace. It's not going to be a life of hope. It's not going to be a life where you get a chance to minister and be a blessing to someone else. So Jesus is saying the same thing to disciples that he would say to us today. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Today our circumstances are not beyond the ability of our God. Today our circumstances are not beyond the ability of our God. He can sustain us. He can provide for us. He can even prosper us. Amen. And you say, Pastor, prosper? I'm excited to see what God can do during these times with people that are faithful and with people that are willing to be a servant of his. You think about the story here. They're traumatized in chapter 14, chapter 20, with the risen Savior. They're rejoicing. They're traumatized here in chapter 14, but 4 days later, he's alive. He's arose. We can accomplish anything. The Savior has risen. What's those 4 days? Well, during those 4 days is where he wants us to have faith. During those 4 days, he says, I don't want your heart to be troubled. You might not understand everything right now, but believe that I'm in control. Believe I have your best interest at heart, and believe I know what you're doing. To me, it's easy for me to say this now because I wasn't one of those disciples. I wasn't going through what they were, stressful or mentally. But to me, if Jesus said he was going to rise again on 3 days, I'm thinking, man, that third day, somebody should have been at that tomb. They should have had a camera crew there. They should have had a whole party there. Hey, Jesus is rising today. Let's roll back the stone. There's not going to be anybody there. But you don't see that type of faith. But that's what he wants from us. Because when we allow our hearts to be fearful and troublesome, we're not having faith. And when we allow the troublesome and stresses of life dictate our emotions and our feelings, you know what's happening? We're denying Christ like Peter did. We're running out. We're sitting in fear for those days when we don't understand what's happening. But when we can say, I believe in God, and I believe what Jesus is telling me, then guess what? My heart doesn't have to be troubled. Just a couple closing thoughts and we'll be done. He looks at people and says, let not your heart be troubled. He looked at them and says, you don't have to be worried because you have a faith and trust, not only in God, but also what Christ did on the cross or was going to do on the cross. But there's many, many people today that he would not look to them and say, let not your heart be troubled. There's many people today that he would say, you need to be worried. There is much to be troubled about. We're not talking about a virus, we're talking about a sin problem. That sin problem leads to a penalty, and that penalty leads to a horrible place called hell. And that when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes unto the Father but by me, what he is saying is there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. That is by putting our faith and trust in him. That is recognizing that we are a sinner, that we have sinned. Because of our sin, there is a penalty to pay. And for the wages of sin is death. That's an eternal death. That's an eternal separation from God. That's a spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And if we will put our faith and trust and we will turn to God, and I'm not just saying, oh, I believe in God, I'm just going to say some prayer. I'm saying seeing yourself as a sinner, understanding that your sin has separated you from God and that you have turned to him. You're not trusting in anything else but in God and what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And I believe that he paid my sin debt for me. The Bible talks about repentance and faith, they go hand in hand. Today, have you ever put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you ever turned to God and said, I'm trusting in you and you alone for my eternal destiny? If you can say yes, then don't let your heart be troubled about what's going on here. If you can trust him forever, you can trust him today. But if you cannot say yes, let me encourage you. Find somebody you trust spiritually, or just cry out to God on your own. And you can call our office, you can get in contact with me, or you can read a Bible tract. There's lots of different ways. But you can cry out to God and say, God, I'm a sinner, and I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I'm not trusting anything else. I'm trusting in you and you alone. The words don't matter. It's the faith that's in your heart, and it's the understanding that you have as you turn to the Lord. I encourage you to do that today. As I've mentioned earlier, one of the things I don't know if you use the word enjoy, but one of the things I like about this passage of Scripture is it can be a comfort. I sat there and I've done a number of funerals using this passage of Scripture. I was even thinking, you know, probably if the messages or the portion of Scripture my church family has heard me preach the most is probably this one right here. And why is that? It's because it offers comfort and hope. God is saying here, and I command, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let this change what you believe. You believe in God. You believe he's self-sustained, you know, he's able to do all this. Believe also me. Believe what God is doing right now. And then you have a future to envision. At a home, at a funeral, many times people are thinking, I want to think my loved one's in heaven today. And you hear, you know, running up and down the streets of heaven, kicking up gold dust, whatever, all those different things. But sometimes people have a false hope. And I don't want anybody to have that. And when I do a funeral, I'll do my best to try to help people understand. He's speaking to believers here. He's speaking to people that have faith in him. He's speaking to people that know who God is, know who he is. He's saying, I'm coming back for you. But there's also so many other scriptures, especially the one in verse number 6. You're not getting there unless you go through Jesus Christ. The day and time we live in is very uncertain, but I think God can truly get glory here. In just a little while, I'm getting ready to do our Sunday evening service. I'm going to do it just here in a few minutes. It's going to be posted at 6 o'clock. I hope you come back and I hope you listen to that. It's going to go with our great questions in the Bible, and there's a question that I think is important. God looks to Moses and says, what's that in thine hand? And Moses didn't think it was much. It was a rod. But God used that rod in some miraculous ways. And it was a time of uncertainty for Moses, what God was calling him to do. And I want you to consider, what's in your hand today? What does God place in your hand during this time, how you can be a blessing and help to somebody? I want you to come back, and I want you to listen, watch it at 6 o'clock tonight, and I want you to consider some of those things. But if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, get that settled today. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open up your word. What a blessing and a help it can be. Help us to turn to the Scriptures in this time. There's many, many, many things going on in the world today that is very troublesome. I don't want to minimize that. That is truth. That is reality. But Lord, you look at us and say, let your heart not be troubled. Lord, help us as believers to know that. Help us to have faith. All those wonderful and great promises you've given us mean nothing if we're not trusting in you. They're not going to give us the comfort that we can have from it unless we have the faith to believe it. Lord, I also pray for those that might be watching, whether today or who knows when. Show them their need. I know you love them. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. The Bible also says that you're not willing that any should perish, so that all should come to repentance. Use the words today from your holy word to convict hearts, to see people saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. A couple of public service announcements and we'll be done. As you notice, we are a few minutes late today, and that's because, once again, live streaming is new for us. So it's something we're learning. Let me encourage you to, If you had issues or problems, text me, text Mr. Greger. Mr. Cartwright's back there helping too. We want to know how we can make things better. So please do that. We are probably going to, at least for a little while, pre-record things. And we're going to do that on purpose so that way nobody's waiting at the 11 o'clock hour, 6 o'clock hour, or the Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. It helps us be able to make sure everything's done right, make sure everything's edited right. I like the idea of live streaming. I like the idea of working as that moment in time that people are watching while we're talking, because it's like that for church. And someday, my goal is to get there to help that. But until we get there, we're going to be probably doing some pre-recorded things. So you'd be praying for that. Remember, if you want to help with special music, don't somebody that's from another part of the world call me up and say, hey, can I do special music? It's for people that regularly help with special music at our church. Give me a call or Brother Jim a call, and we'll set up some things to help that with. We're praying for you. And if you have special prayer requests, feel free to text or call. We want to know. If you have a special need, we want to help. Like I said, in uncertain days and times, God's going to provide things. God's going to sustain us. God's going to work. The question is, are you going to be that willing servant? And we're going to talk a little bit about that in our Sunday evening service. But I encourage you, get everybody back around the church service for church service tonight. One of the cool things about pre-recording it is you can watch it on your TV. If you have a smart TV or you have some type of streaming device, you can go to the YouTube channel. Once again, I'm not endorsing everything on YouTube. There's a lot of wicked things on YouTube, but there's a lot of good things. But you can go to the YouTube channel, you type in FBCECNC into your YouTube search bar. Then all the different pre-recorded messages and sermons will come popped up. So if we record one at 12:30, tonight is 6 o'clock when we upload it, you'll be able, if you have a smart TV or you have a streaming device for your TV, you can push the YouTube app and type in on the search bar, FBCECNC. This morning's message will be there. Wednesday night's message will be there. And hopefully Sunday night's message that we're getting ready to do will be there. So all you have to do is that way you can watch it on TV instead of trying to watch it on your phone. If phone's the only option to have, do it. Tablet's the only option to have, do it. Laptop, great. But for me, if I was watching with multiple people, I would find it more enjoyable to be able to watch on a bigger screen. But please, work with us. Be patient. Give us suggestions. Even if some of them are critical, that's fine. But remember, this is all new for us. I had a preacher friend tell me, he says, all these pastors now, they're having to go to live stream. They're all realizing something. They all have a face for radio. So that means that none of us are, you know, performers or actors, and this is all new for us. And we're going to learn as time goes along. But we're seeking God's blessing. So let me encourage you to be faithful during this time. And we're, as a church, exploring more avenues. You're going to see other videos popping up there, maybe for children or for specific groups, so that way we can be ministering. Lots of people have a lot more free time. You can use that free time to minister, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But if you don't listen to tonight's message, there's things, until we're told we're not allowed to leave our house, which we pray doesn't happen in North Carolina, there's things around the church here that can be done. There's people that we can be helping and blessing, even putting stuff on their doorsteps. There's people that we can pray for. There's all types of things that we can use if we're willing to use what God's given us and what God's put in our hands. So tonight, make sure you listen to that message, and hopefully you'll be a help and encouragement. Tonight, all you're going to do is see me. And Wednesday night, we're going to go back to having some songs and special music, but Sunday nights we're just focusing on the message for right now. Things might change as time goes along, but we're still working out time by time. Wednesday night, I had a ton of people respond to me and say, hey, live streamed. It worked great and was very thankful for it. And I think this morning I looked at it because we were trying to help one of the ladies out with getting there. It said we had 142 views from our YouTube channel. That's really exciting, thinking that, you know, the views means that multiple people could be watching it. And I'm not looking for likes. I'm not looking for views. I'm not looking to become some big fancy church or preacher. But it is something that over 142 different households clicked in to see what was going on. What a huge blessing. And I know I said I'd end with this, the little joke, but I had somebody, more than one person, text me on Wednesday night. I've never been to church on Wednesday night because they couldn't drive because of the darkness. They were older people, but they said how much they enjoyed actually going to church on Wednesday night. So hopefully this is not just something we do during this problem when we can't meet together. Hopefully we'll be able to get the equipment and be able to do things right so that way we can be doing it service after service so that way we can meet together. To do what? To worship. So let's close once again in word of prayer and we'll be done. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the equipment and the opportunity to be able to live stream. I know there's some churches that can't even do that. Lord, we truly are blessed here. Lord, help us to be faithful during this time. Help us not to let our hearts be so troubled that we miss the opportunity we have here to minister to others. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Not only thank you for the equipment, thank you for the people that help run the equipment and set it up and are here part of the service. And Lord, I pray that Faith Baptist Church and its members would use this time to draw closer to you and also use what you've given us to be a blessing and help to others. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.